This is Jim Inkster. Coming today, we'll visit with Mayor President Kip Holden, now in his third term as the man who leads City Parish of East Baton Rouge, and just back from Taiwan. We'll talk with him about his trip and much more. Last time he was on this show, he indicated he's going to run for Lieutenant Governor in 2015. Kip Holden, one of the most resilient and enduring Louisiana politicians, member of the Louisiana Political Hall of Fame in Winfield, and the Manship School of Journalism Hall of Fame at LSU. And speaking of LSU, the Fighting Tigers of Paul Maneri, who won the national championship 4 years ago at Omaha, are now fighting for their lives in the College World Series. They must win this afternoon against North Carolina to stay alive. We'll talk about it with Tiger Rag editor Cody Worshow. But first, the news on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Our numbers are 297-5633. Locally outside our area, 877-217-5757. You may reach us by email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. Our guest is Baton Rouge Mayor President Melvin Lee Kip Holden, third term mayor of the city of Baton Rouge. He's term limited. Last time he was on this show, not so long ago, he announced that he is a likely contender for the office of Lieutenant Governor in the 2015 election. But the mayor is just back. I mean, just back from Taiwan. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Fine. How are you? How was the trip?
The trip was excellent, but it's kind of difficult knowing that they are 13 hours ahead of us and trying to make those time adjustments of when the moment you get off the plane, you go to a hotel and you back up within a few hours to start your full day, and that goes on for about 6 days. It's quite extraordinary.
Well, what was done as far as engendering some kind of a relationship between Baton Rouge and Taiwan?
Let me basically start off by saying I firmly believe, based on all of these parts coming together, we have not only set the pace for the present of Baton Rouge, but for the future of Baton Rouge. And I'll go over some of the things that we've talked about. Back in 2007, when I was over at Taiwan, we signed a memorandum of understanding with the Science Park Administration, National Science Council of Taiwan. And that basically led to a lot of things. It led to us having dialogue over the course of these years about how do we put some of this stuff together. And when we talk about a science park, if you can just imagine the Mall of Louisiana without any smokestack buildings. These will be basically like classroom-type buildings run by companies from throughout the world. They roughly operate on about 400 acres. The one in Taichung has over 50 businesses operating out of there, including some businesses from the United States. And they focus upon a lot of different things. They focus upon things like the technology and the different types of technology. They just focus upon pharmaceutical, nanotechnology, international waterworks, and those are just some of the things. But the great part about it is having gone to three major areas where the National Science Foundation funds these parks. Basically, all of those areas have indicated they want to do things in Baton Rouge as well. So the big thing at the end of all of this, next year it is anticipated that the mayor of one of the cities there will bring in a number of investors and at the same time bring in a number of companies to show the good faith that they are extending to Baton Rouge in terms of the number of people that they're bringing in. Now, on the other side, we're talking about thousands of employees that will be in Baton Rouge. But when you look at that science park, as I said, they're modern-day buildings. Basically, what they have done is come up, and they have a really kind of way of working things out, I mean, technology-wise. Let's say Jim Inkster has a company, and I'm interested in the Jim Inkster company. I'm going to go and recruit your company. And then there are two other questions I have to ask you. Who is your supplier? Then I'm going to go out and recruit your supplier and put that supplier next to you. And then the last question is, who is your exporter? I'm going to go out and get the exporter and put the person or company next to you. So you have basically a single stream in terms of getting your project back out on the market. And they are doing extremely well financially over there. They've exceeded even their projections, and they expect many, many more dollars to be coming in. But added to that, we're working on things. They're interested in exchanges between nurses and doctors, between Baton Rouge and different parts of Taiwan. They are interested in museums, and so therefore we'll be talking to the people with the museums and arts because they are very much even looking at, as soon as we get it together, allowing an exhibit from Taiwan to be brought to Baton Rouge. So we made sure we dealt with the arts. Education, they are teaching kids right now on those sites, so schools are available at the work site. And at the work site, they learn, and at the same time, they are being taught all of the technology and all of the STEM research in elementary school. And this is one magnificent program that you'll see. But like I said, there are tons of things. Technology will be very, very big. They will have roughly just a ton of people employed in Baton Rouge. And we will be talking to community leaders. We'll talk to business leaders. We'll talk to Pennington Biomedical Research Center, the other people who are doing research here in Baton Rouge. And then at the same time, we'll be taking young students and allowing those students to go over there at no cost in exchange programs to learn more about their different professions.
How is it for a man from North Baton Rouge to be treated as a visiting dignitary in a great country like Taiwan?
It's quite overwhelming because, you know, I'm not bragging on myself, but they offer a lot of respect. They offer a lot of courtesies, and they treat you as if you are royalty in their countries or in their cities. But at the same time, I'm aware of the fact I cannot let that consume my thoughts when I'm there on a mission. I'm like the Blues Brothers. I should have worn that tie on a mission from God, you know, simply because I'm there to let people know this has not just been talk. This will be show, not show, but this will be tell, and it'll be very telling as you hear from the different groups that we will set up to go out and do a lot of things. And let me also thank Jarrett with the Chamber of Commerce. This is his first trip overseas, and he did a remarkable job on research. And again, there are a lot of companies that we can expect to see locating here, and people will be hearing a lot of information about a lot of these companies, and they will see visits from different people who are ready to come here and do business with Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm. Was the food good?
It's kind of hard for me to get used to the food. I mean, you got so many different things. I don't think I have learned how to eat squid yet. Me and chopsticks, I think chopsticks win the battle every time. And so give me something whereby I can eat, but like fish dishes are very good. They do a lot of vegetables because there is a universal thought almost in every part of Taiwan that you go to is the more vegetables you eat, the less chances of cancer you will get. So you will get vegetables everywhere you go, but not a lot of heavy sweets and those things.
Well, you're watching your health. That's good. And did they serve Budweiser in Taiwan?
The answer is yes, and I sent the Mocklers a picture to make sure, but they also have a good beer called a Taiwan beer. So, you know, that was my barley, hops, malt, and rice part of the trip.
And you're a man who knows libations.
Yes, sir.
As we've talked before, the mayor, in addition to being a journalist and a lawyer, is also a small businessman.
Yeah, my dad opened a neighborhood bar in 1959, and I always tell people, I go back to my radio voice, Holden's Cafe, 514 Blunt Road, with one convenient location to serve you.
And it's still open, right?
Yes, sir. 50 years plus.
The powerhouse.
That's exactly right. And that's named by the neighborhood because of a utility substation right across the street from our bar, so there's always the possibility of excitement.
Well, the man who is the mayor is a man who we see often about the town, and so often that people say, look, this guy, he's everywhere. He's not minding the store. But you have a response to that, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, because it's not like we sit down, for example, and put together a budget supplement that there's not communication between me and William and finance all the time. Once I tell somebody something, we're all on the same page. They know I expect for it to be done. And so we work and do things. And a lot of times I make a lot of meetings, but, you know, in those meetings, you may see me at a restaurant. But in those restaurants, we also carry on a lot of business. We've discussed a lot of the movies that are being shot here. We've gone in and discussed with companies about different things. We met with IBM at a restaurant. So a lot of different things happen, and they're not in that formal setting of you necessarily in a coat and tie in your office or those things. You see a lot of things happen outside of the office, but at the same time, our rankings are not by accident, and our thought process, like what you have heard laid out, is not by accident, and I can tell you that there's more to come. We have other big announcements to make that's not Taiwan-related, but you'll see. Frankly, at 11 o'clock this morning, one of the big agency heads from Taiwan will be doing a call together at 10 o'clock. And we'll be talking about exactly what's going on. And it's the director general. So, you know, I just get back home, and then all of a sudden, really, I got back home at 8 o'clock Father's Day, 8 o'clock in the morning, after about 20, 25 hours total of flying. But anyway, but what you got here is the fact that we are already following up. We're moving forward. When we start talking about these different medical aspects, I know already refer that to the BR Healthy Cities Committee because every hospital is on there. A lot of clinics are on there and the Pennington Biomedical Center is on there. So I already know the plan that we need to follow in order to move forward in a lot of these directions. And they may not see me as much on TV, but they'll see me out there, and especially at schools, because I try to go to at least 40 schools each year from September to the first week of May and talk to kids. And the number of programs I make, I tell you what, the average person would probably say, I will cut down my schedule. But for me, that's not an option.
297-5633. We'll go to the phone lines in just a moment for Mayor President Kip Holden. Did want to talk with you about a topic we discussed yesterday. The L.A. Swift operation is expected to shut down unless something happens in the next 12 days on the 30th of June. Is that a blow to our city?
I think it's a blow to our city, but a blow to New Orleans and a blow to people who couldn't move back to New Orleans, who used that method of transportation to get to a job and at the same time get a chance to see their families. But, it is not unusual, Jim, because if this is almost like a repeat of what happened after Hurricane Katrina. The feds started a service. They started a service with CATS that allowed them to expand their services for the handicapped, those who had trouble getting to grocery stores, going to the doctor, et cetera.
All right, hold that thought, and we'll talk with the mayor about CATS and about L.A. Swift. L.A. Swift right now destined to shut down on June 30th. Back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Kevin Gallagher is producing, and our guest for a while longer is Mayor President Kip Holden, just back from a major trip to Taiwan representing this parish and trying to stir up some business with folks abroad.
Yeah, well, you know, speaking and also taking care of people at home, because I had a chance to meet with the president of Formosa, and they are headquartered in Taipei. And that also turned out to be a very good meeting, because they're looking at some possible sites, may not be Baton Rouge, but in South Louisiana, whereby they may do some additional expansion. But again, added to that, they are very much big players in education, the sciences, technology, and also medicine. So we are now looking at incorporating them more so in our Healthy Cities proposal, and let them talk about what they've been doing. But they are very strong on education, and we are looking at a lot of different exchange programs with them. They've given us the names of all of the people that we need to contact. But they also are looking at things like product diversification. And, mostly they're saying the number of major refineries located in Taiwan, absolutely amazing. But then now we can begin to look at the Children's Hospital based upon some representations on health care, Pennington, and minority progress and minorities working with companies. So, I mean, when I tell you this was an all-encompassing trip and a lot accomplished in a few days, I can tell you without a doubt you will see the fruits of our labor. But more than that, the mayor of Taichung City, Mayor Jason Hu, can tell you one of the points that he made very clearly: it is rare for a city from the United States to come directly and stay interested in doing business with us, and that's why Baton Rouge is his favorite city.
Well, that's great. That's great. What about L.A. Swift now? We got 12 days, $750,000. The state, with a $25 billion budget, decided in its wisdom, lawmakers, where you used to sit, and the governor, said that they can't afford it. Can something be done between now and June 30th?
I think you have to make an immediate appeal to take a look again and see whether or not there are any recovery dollars, even if it's a fraction left, with the state to contribute towards those programs. Of course, that's the state's decision, so I'm not going to infringe upon their turf. But on the other hand, I think when we are now taking people who are displaced from New Orleans who may be here, and then giving them transportation at a reasonable cost in New Orleans in order to do jobs, and even people from Baton Rouge who are going to New Orleans, people who live here, going to New Orleans doing a job and coming back home, it's going to have an economic effect on those families in particular. Because the people on that bus are not looking for a handout. Anytime you get on that bus and you're traveling in that traffic to New Orleans every morning and back here every afternoon, that's not a joyride. And so, but the same things happen after Katrina. For a while, the federal government stood up catch, and then at least they get more, at least time, to know about it. But I think we also have to make an appeal to our congressional delegation as to the importance of this transportation piece towards jobs and also the success of people and their families.
Bill in Greenville Springs. Bill, you're on the air with Mayor President Kip Holden. Hi, Bill.
Yes, I wanted to ask the mayor about his, what I see as his biggest failure in his over 8 years of being the mayor, and that is that our north-south roads, College Drive, Essen, Segan Lane, at times it takes you over half an hour to drive like a half a mile. You know, it's just outrageous.
Well, you may see it as a failure, sir, but unless you know how the process works, your conclusion is fine. But the process works through the State Department of Transportation and Development. And we have both roads that are city roads and state roads. in our green light plan, well over $550 million, we took on some state roads. But unfortunately, we can't take on every road. The problems you have announced are absolutely right. College Drive is tough. Jefferson Highway is tough. Airline Highway is tough. But you see them as a failure. We see them still because after I leave you, Jim, I'll be going to the ribbon cutting at Segan Lane. Look how long that took. Look at how long it took to widen the interstate. And so when you are looking at the fact that there have been reductions at the federal level in highway funding and at the state level in highway funding, absent revenues coming from the people, which I hope you are for some changes being made, especially to take care of this anywhere from 200 to 400 bridges that could collapse at any moment in time. I would look to move forward working with you instead of saying what the failures are, because none of us are perfect.
297-5633 if you'd like to get in our remaining time with Mayor President Kip Holden. Now, while you were gone, the Lieutenant Governor, Jay Darden, your good friend and a man who holds a position that you will quite likely be seeking in a few years, he just said that he didn't want $200,000 in state funds to go to Bayou Country Superfest, that $100,000 was sufficient. What's your take on this?
Well, the one thing for sure, and Jay and I will remain friends, but the bottom line is simply this. Last year, there was a commitment made to us through Mr. Rainwater that I will give Baton Rouge $200,000 back. That was in trade-off because Baton Rouge tried to take the state's money in a piece of legislation. So in order for that legislation to be passed so we could give a rebate for the tickets, then we had to remove the state language. I didn't sit down and babysit Mr. Rainwater about where he was going to get the money from. And then on the Bayou Classic weekend, I'm approached by Jay, and he says, my lobbyists tell me that they're taking the money. They're taking the money away from my department. I said, Jay, I don't know anything about that. Well, then as we tracked it through, an amendment was put on there by Senator Broom, the president of the Senate, Alario, and basically that amendment passed. Yes, it did take money out of his budget. But to ask me to go and ask the governor to veto a bill and ask the president of the Senate to veto a bill or an item and ask the senator who sponsored it to veto an item after they worked hard to put those things in there, I don't think that's my role. In politics, you know as well as I do, Jim, if I would be persona non grata if these guys have worked to put something in and then all of a sudden I go and tell them, well, you know, I'm sorry about the efforts you had to put forth. Y'all did the wrong thing. That's not how it works.
Well, have you talked to the Lieutenant Governor about this?
I've been out of the country. I mean, all of the stuff that appeared in the newspaper, oh, yeah, I talked to him and explained to him exactly my point of view.
Yeah.
But all of the stuff that came out, I never expected him to then go and try to make this into a news article for himself and that kind of stuff, knowing full well that the facts that I've seen that he's presented to the public are only partially or part of the truth, not the whole truth.
So what do you think will happen, Mr. Mayor?
I have no idea. I mean, the bill is in the governor's hand. I have no veto power, but at the same time, I'm still willing to sit down and talk to Jay. But, you know, you don't have to talk through attacking people. Yeah, we've been to the same university, many other things that have happened. Diplomacy still works out many problems that people confront.
297-5633, Mayor President Kip Holden, you defend your turf, don't you? Whether it's a friend or a foe, when it comes to defending what you believe is the right course for our city and our parish, you go the distance.
Yes, sir. I'm committed. I mean, I'm this person, and a lot of people don't know. You know, when I try to do the best I can, sometimes that may step on some toes, you know, but it's not a deliberate effort on my part to try to hurt somebody. I think there are very few people in this whole nation that could say Kip Holden went out of his way to hurt me. No, I try to do my best to represent a lot of different interests. In this case here, there's a conflict that developed in the legislature. That conflict impacts the lieutenant governor. I'm the person who's the recipient of what happened in that conflict, but I cannot go to John Alario and Sharon Weston Broome and the governor and say, veto this legislation or this amendment that was put in there by these individuals. I mean, I could never go back and ask for anything of any significance for Baton Rouge anymore.
Harriet near Perkins. Harriet, good morning. You're on with Mayor President Kip Holden.
Good morning, Mayor Holden. I'm a big supporter of your administration, and I have a question about the fact that we would like to get more and better bus service in Baton Rouge. But my
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
She once said more and better bus service in Baton Rouge.
Okay.
And the problem that I see, and you may have already addressed this, but what I'm seeing off of Perkins Road is the fact that we have lots of bus stops up and down Perkins, but there's no way to get to them because there are no crosswalks to safely get you across five lanes of traffic.
All right. Your response, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Harriet.
Yes, I agree with you. The bus service has to be changed, but I want to also tell you reality. The city or even across a state highway, you will not see, for the most part, a crosswalk going across lanes of traffic that are motoring at least 60 miles an hour. That's really a safety issue that I think we will all be confronted with. But I'll have to say the directors of KETS are going to have to analyze what was said with Together Baton Rouge and others and understand that there's still a period where they need to reach out and talk to the public a lot more about different things that are going on. And that those are some of the things, again, you hear the call for service. That was the call before the tax was voted upon, and that was the thing that people were most irritated about. So they're going to have to look at those routes that Harriet is talking about and seeing whether or not at least you can make some adjustments without endangering their health trying to cross from one side of the road to the other.
297-5633 for Mayor President Holden. Please be brief. We'll try to get to as many folks as possible. Charles on North Foster. Hi, Charles.
Hi, Jim. Ni hao, Mayor Holden.
Ni hao.
Let me say this.
You caught me off guard on that one. Sir?
I believe in diplomacy, Mayor, and I believe that you can play a very positive role in getting this L.A. Swift issue resolved. I saw what you did to purchase Woman Hospital. I saw what Sharon Weston Broome did to have Earl K. Loan torn down. 12,000 people a month are depending on this service. Mayor, I believe you and the mayor of New Orleans and our governor can make this happen, and I believe you will make this happen, Mayor, and I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. Thanks, Charles, but I have to also tell you a reality check. We just finished our budget supplement, but L.A. Swift is not a product that was created by the city of Paris. Neither was KETS. And then we still have some pressing needs in the city that we have to take care of. But I will make the effort, again, to our congressional delegation and to now our former Senator Bro. We have his firm back working for us to make the plea to try to help us fill this void because of the devastating effect that Charles mentioned it will have. But the city cannot bail them out because we're having to maintain our own budget and deal with a lot of things that have been neglected for a number of years.
HB in Denham Springs. Hi, HB. You're on with the mayor.
Good morning. Mayor, there's been a lot of talk over really four decades about the police department joining with the sheriff's office and forming a metro department. My question is, do you agree or disagree, and why? Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. I disagree with it simply because that is not a proven solution to crime at all. Second of all, you have to deal with different civil service systems. You have to deal with different pension plans, promotions, how you're going to set the system up in regards to precincts, who's going to be in charge of the system, what happens to the Baker Police, Zachary Police, Central Police, all of those entities. There's no way an area this large can be run by one person. And so we've looked at it from the economic side. It does not work. From the management side, it does not work. From the people side, it does not work. And therefore, we are moving now in a direction to make sure that we also follow the tenets of our plan of government. Our plan of government was written way back in the 40s. But there's a line in there that people tend to overlook. It says the sheriff is the chief law enforcement person in the parish, except in the city of Baton Rouge. So you're going to have charter changes, constitutional changes by the time, and there will be tons of litigation. By that time, it will cost us more than it would to make a system more efficient than to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
John Hugh writes, I heard the mayor talking about art exhibitions from Taiwan to Baton Rouge. The Chinese Culture Club will support the events, writes John. That's nice.
Well, that's good, and I have a great relationship, and I'm a member of that organization. But I can tell you, we are jointly convinced that when you look at Taiwan, when you look at the Chinese population here, Asian population here, the things that we can work on together can solve a lot of problems in both areas in regards to the dynamics of like I said, from healthcare to biotech to you name it. All of those things can be worked on. And then tell John he's now the head of that committee.
Well, the mayor is a busy man, father of five.
And yes.
Been married to Lois for how long?
28 years.
28 years. And you were elected to the Metro Council in what year?
1984.
All right. So the last, essentially, 30 years, you've been in public life every year.
Every year, but I also have worked public relations. I've also worked in terms of my law practice, which I'm not working so much right now, of course. Frankly, don't have the time and the hours to put in.
You mean if I got in trouble, I could hire you as my lawyer?
For you, it'd be pro bono. And don't get that confused with Sonny Bono, the late.
Oh, my. Yeah, who died in 1998. But Mayor, yeah. Mayor President Kip Holden was elected to the Louisiana legislature in 1988. And,
right.
And I recall that not so long after you were elected, there was a special election in Metairie, and a guy named David Duke got elected. Two of you had some memorable showdowns on the House floor.
We sure did, and frankly, you know, a lot of things, you know, I saw people who had been friends, black and white, for decades be torn apart by one individual.
All right, hold that thought. We'll return and wrap it up with Mayor President Kip Holden after this 90-second pause on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number in our remaining time with Mayor President Kip Holden, who, as I noted, was elected to the Louisiana House in 1987, began serving in 88, served in the House for 14 years, and then went to the Senate, and then, of course, became Mayor President of our city and parish. And he is a journalist who worked in many radio stations and television in this area, and also as a lawyer. He is a man of many talents. But in 1988, he's elected, and then in 89, February of 89, a few months later, David Duke wins a special election in Metairie for the Louisiana House. And the two of them, who I guess probably knew each other a little bit from the LSU days.
And Free Speech Alley.
Yeah, yeah. Those were memorable moments, weren't they?
Yeah.
Well, then you're suddenly exchanging pleasantries or lack thereof on the House floor. How was that experience?
Yeah, it was quite a distracting experiment and experience in the sense that I watched people, you know, when it took the late Pappy Trish to stand up And many, many years he gave the speech about his position as a segregationist and how he apologized to people and said that he was wrong for what he was doing. All of us are the same. If we believe in the Creator or God in particular, then we're all created by one being. And so yet there still was this push to basically separate people along racial lines, ethnic lines, religious lines, and that is not something that our House of Representatives or the legislature should reflect. It should reflect a spirit of cooperation on behalf of all people of the state of Louisiana, because we take an oath to do that. And so when I saw a lot of people saying, well, if you just leave them alone, everything will be fine. Well, it got worse. Governor Romer went through hell with him. A lot of other people did. But the bottom line is that the legislature did not adopt a lot of his policies. We remained focused upon the bigger problems that we had to deal with in the state. And in spite of Mr. Duke's assertions and other things that happened during that time, if you choose not to let that come to the forefront in terms of distracting you and stay focused, you can overcome those obstacles.
Well, a few weeks ago, around the time you went to Taiwan, Karen Carter Peterson, the chair of the Louisiana Democratic Party and an honorable state senator from New Orleans, she said that race is still at play in Louisiana politics, in particular in the aversion to the Medicaid expansion under Obamacare. Do you think she's on track?
I think she's partially on track. And I can tell you that, Governor Crist, when you're watching governors, you try to figure out why is it that everybody – but for the most part, except Louisiana, has decided to do this. I'm going to put it this. Maybe I'm going to shift it from the race to there are too many poor people who are having to suffer needlessly in the state of Louisiana, too many people with disabilities, too many people are elderly, and those individuals do not have the wherewithal in order to make the basic needs in life. When there's a program offered that tends to allow you to ease their burdens, and you said flat out, no, it's Obamacare because of it's the president's health plan. Well, when Romney did a Romney Care and when other places across America have done the same, only thing I'm saying is that let's look at the merits of the programs, find out where we can tune it and make it happen instead of running a national political issue and the state of Louisiana and the people of Louisiana becoming the pawns of this protest from the national level that's being pretty much carried out in the legislature, and that's wrong.
Okay. A few questions I'll forward to you from listeners.
Yes, sir.
If you run for lieutenant governor, as it looks like you will, how much will you have to raise to do it?
Somewhere between $2 and $5 million.
That's real money.
That's real money, and it's not monopoly dollars, but I'm thankful that there have been a lot of people who have expressed interest, and frankly, from the stuff that I'm doing in Taiwan, I've got to make sure we save the towns and the villages and those small areas from becoming ghost towns, and tourism is one of the big things that can help in some very, very desperate areas.
Another question. Before you leave as mayor, will the one Baton Rouge resolution be passed?
The legislature is not, they're not showing an overwhelming number of support. Even some black, even some black council members have not embraced it. And so, I went through it and beat my head up against the wall. But still, I guess I want to leave people with just one thought. If you're operated on by a surgeon, and that's the best surgeon you have, and this person has a reputation of saving lives, and you go under that knife, do you ever stop and ask the question whether the person is homosexual, gay, lesbian, anything like that? No, you're concerned about your life. Be concerned about the quality of people, and don't try to distort this with their lifestyle.
Well, you've been supportive of this, but if it's not going to pass, is it worth the fight?
Yes, sir.
Do you think it is?
any matter of inequality is worth a fight.
Okay. So you'll continue to be supportive and
try
to coax Metro Council members into passing. It seems a rather innocuous resolution.
It is. There's nothing forcing anybody to do anything. There are no penalties in there. It's just like I've been criticized for issuing a proclamation honoring the lesbian, gay festival and all of those things. Well, I mean, we honor a lot of things in Baton Rouge, but I'm honoring it because here are a group of people that's making positive contributions to all walks of life. I don't think God put me in the position to judge those individuals, and therefore I'm not going to assume that role.
Okay. Governor Jindal is going on a 64-parish tour. That's every one of them. He's going to hit every parish, starting in Caddo and Shreveport. What do you think of this as a man who likes to mingle with the people? Kind of interesting, isn't it?
It's interesting because I can tell you this. I'll see him in about the next 45 minutes. But the work between LED, the chamber, and our office and our council led to IBM. We've had a tremendous partnership in movies and an industry that's been located in Baton Rouge. We still have to go back and refocus upon small businesses and doing more, and that's what the Taiwanese package is going to bring in. That's what we need to focus upon because they are still the lifeblood of the community at the level with people that need help the most.
All right, and lastly, a question from Tracy at the Capitol. Mr. Mayor, man of culture, who is your favorite musical artist?
Oh, God, I got so many. You know, I'm an old Isaac Hayes fan, and of course. But added to that, I got to put my main man, Buddy Guy, right at the top.
Isaac Hayes, you like Shaft?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been on the receiving end of that sometime.
What about female artists?
I tell you what, Barbara Streisand stands out to me, and then at the same time, Dionne Warwick,
right.
Ella Fitzgerald. Those people really really struck a chord with me.
All right, as we hear Isaac Hayes beneath the mayor, we'll let him get to his work. He's got a busy day. Thank you for spending time
with
us.
Yes, sir.
Today.
Thank you so much,
mayor
and
President.
A pleasant good morning.
God, take care. And we switch gears, and we're joined in studio by the editor of Tiger Rag, the Bible of LSU Sports, Cody Worsham. And I must say that Chris Frank was scheduled to be with us. He's a communications director for the Louisiana House Democratic Caucus, but we couldn't work it out. So Cody Worsham is pinch hitting, and today is a big day for LSU baseball. The Tigers have to win to stay alive in Omaha. They got themselves in quite a hole the other night, losing the opener to UCLA 2-1. How's it look for Paul Menieri and crew?
It's a winnable game. North Carolina is a very good team. They're the number one seed for a reason. They're probably the most balanced team in the field. But LSU's not far behind, and you look at the polls, LSU's ranked number one almost unanimously across the polls. So it's going to be a fun game to watch. I know LSU fans are hoping for a Tiger victory, but either way, I'm sure we'll see some good baseball today.
Well, and even if they win today, LSU has to win three more times to get to the championship round. So that means in order to win a seventh College World Series title, Cody, LSU will have to win six more games. That's going to be tough.
Yeah, it will be. And if you look at their record, they're certainly capable of it. They're going to have to go deep into their pitching staff to get there. It starts today with Cody Glenn, who's been the number three starter all season. Hasn't pitched in 27 days, but he's getting the ball against North Carolina, a team that struggles a little bit more with lefties than righties. I think of the 11 games they've lost this season, nine have come to left-handed pitching. So Cody Glenn ought to pose a challenge to them, and I'd expect another low-scoring game because they're throwing one of their better pitchers as well.
Now, Tiger Rag's about to produce its 35th anniversary issue, a commemorative issue. The first publication was September 1, 1978, and in that year of 1978, as Glenn Gilbo points out, LSU baseball that season, which was my freshman year, went 12-34. 12 wins, 34 losses. Program's come a long way since then, hasn't it?
Yeah, things are a little bit differently. I think anybody went 12-34 these days in Baton Rouge for the baseball team, they wouldn't have their job for too long.
No, I don't think so. I remember one coach one time, he was saluted, and he said, if I went 12-34, would you still love me? And I forgot who the athletic director was at the time. He says, we'd love you. We'd love you. We'd miss you, but we'd still love you. Now, the expectations are so high for baseball and football at LSU. Anything short of a national championship is a disappointment.
Yeah, it's strange. This class, this senior class for this 2013 team, was on the verge of being the first to never make it to Omaha since 1986, I believe. But they made it, and you wonder if there's a little bit of a letdown, having spent 4 years working towards this goal, trying to get to Omaha, if they got there and maybe were overwhelmed by the moment in that first game. I don't think that was the case. I think they just got beat by a team that played better that day, but I think today we'll really see against North Carolina how their nerves are holding up.
In the six previous championship seasons, the Tigers have really breezed through the series at Omaha, and they've only lost a couple of games in those 6 years. This one will be the toughest road ever if they can pull it off.
Yeah, I believe only three teams have ever lost their first game in the College World Series and gone on to win it. And like I mentioned earlier, it's all about pitching at this point. Aaron Nola, LSU's best pitcher, is spent. He won't be available for at least another 3 or 4 days if they bring him back on short rest. So they're going to have to go deep into their staff with guys like Cody Glenn, with maybe a Brent Bonvillain, a Kurt McCune, and really test their pitching depth.
That's one of the beauties of baseball. You take a team like LSU. This may be, on paper, the best team LSU's ever had, and dominating throughout the season. The best pitcher in college baseball this year in Aaron Nola. And he loses to a team whose batting average for the year is .251, which by college standards is puny. That is a real low batting average. How the heck did it happen?
You know, it's one of those things that this new ballpark in Omaha, TD Ameritrade, really suits the type of team that UCLA is. They're a pitching-dominated team that plays good defense. And the guy they threw the other day, Plutko, throws a lot of high fastballs and induced a lot of pop-ups. And in that big park at TD Ameritrade, fly ball outs are the way to go. You saw LSU with Aaron Nola, who's more of a low-pitching sinker ball, induce a lot of ground balls type of pitcher. It puts pressure on your defense, and they have to make plays. And LSU booted a couple grounders, and that's how UCLA was able to scratch across two runs, both on LSU errors. And meanwhile, UCLA induced a lot of fly balls, and it's a lot easier to catch a fly ball than it is to field a grounder and make an accurate throw. So it's the type of park that favors a small ball and playing aggressive on the base pass and playing good defense and pitching. And it bit LSU, but, you know, they're capable of playing that way, and we'll see if they can bring that out against North Carolina today.
Well, and Paul Maneri has the misfortune of always going to be compared to Skip Bertman, just as Les Miles will always be compared to Nick Saban. The ninth season for Les Miles begins in just over 10 weeks, LSU at Dallas against TCU. And Les Miles in eight seasons, 85-21, best record ever over an eight-year period at LSU. And yet there are some naysayers regarding Coach Miles. This year he has a lot of new faces because so many players went out early for the draft. How's it looking for the Tigers of 2013 on the football field, Cody?
It's going to be a little bit different. We're used to seeing LSU teams under Les Miles rely on their defense to win games and having an adequate offense to put up enough points that the defense can get the job done. But this year, I think we're going to see that script flipped. You're going to see LSU really rely on its offense to put up some points with some experience coming back at quarterback and Zach Mettenberger, experience at receiver and running back. And meanwhile, on defense, you're going to see a lot of fresh faces and freshmen and sophomores who haven't played a whole lot. So this year, John Chavis, LSU's defensive coordinator, is really going to have his job cut out for him, taking a lot of young talent that certainly the talent is there, but the experience is not. Meanwhile, you have a new offensive coordinator under Cam Cameron. Hopefully he can take the pieces that LSU has on offense and really put up some points and take some pressure off that young defense.
Last year's leading rusher, Jeremy Hill, now in some trouble. Will he be on the field August 31st? What do you think?
Well, if the game's after, 9 p.m., I don't think he can be under the statutes of his curfew. But I think we'll see him miss a couple games early, and this is pure speculation. I think he'll be suspended in some form as he is now for the first one or two games and then come back after that. That's just my gut feeling.
Does that curfew apply to out-of-state games as well?
Probably so. I'm not sure how it entails traveling across time zones, so we'll see.
Well, he allegedly beat up a young man at a bar in Baton Rouge a few months ago and with some help from another gentleman. And the punishment right now, based on a prior incident involving a sexual assault, is that Jeremy Hill has to stay indoors after what? 8 o'clock? 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. That's 9 o'clock Central?
9 o'clock Central.
Okay, so he... Okay, all right. Well, thank you, Cody Worsham. We'll follow LSU, and we'll do it with you, I'm sure, as we move along with the World Series and the Tiger football season not so far away. Until tomorrow, for Kevin Gallagher, I'm Jim Engster. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.